Good evening and welcome to today's meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California. I am John Milford, Chair of the Club's Grown-Ups Forum and your host for today. We also welcome our listening audience and we invite everyone to visit us online at commonwealthclub.org. And now it's my pleasure to introduce our distinguished speaker, Barbara Rose Brooker. I want to start this introduction with a quote from Barbara, and she says, "I believe, like a gem in the sunlight, that art and creativity have many facets. I paint, write, and am the author of several books. Also, I teach writing classes and help guide men and women over 40 to write and publish their own books. I believe that we all have other voices, and that the key to life and aging is to pursue new voices and dreams." Barbara has an MA in creative writing, a Bachelor of Fine Arts in painting. She's published fiction and nonfiction with William Morrow, Crossing Press, and other presses, as well as self-publication. From 1991 to the present, she's taught creative writing workshops at San Francisco State University, San Francisco City College, Learning Annex, and How to Write Your First Book in Any Genre at San Francisco State University Olli Division. She has had several solo gallery exhibits of her paintings. And I end with another quote. "I hope that you will pursue your other voices, reinvent yourself, paint, write, or whatever you feel. Creativity is not owned by those who have credentials or anyone special. We are all born with creativity. You have it as well as I do. You just have to want to. I hope this inspires you." Welcome our speaker, Barbara Rose Brooker.
John, thank you for that lovely introduction. Okay, I wore my shoes tonight. I usually wear my boots because, you know, at my age, my daughter Bonnie says, "Don't fall, Mom. Don't trip in a pothole." You know, I didn't want to break a hip or something up on stage. I'm so glad to see all of you here tonight. I really am. Okay, I'm going to talk tonight about my favorite subject, which is age and aging, because I don't believe in age. I think someday, in decades to come, we're all going to be numbered zero. We're not going to have these numbers because we're people. Okay, you won't believe. I'm going to talk to you tonight, if you can stand it, about my own journey with age. Don't you love the tango? I'm crazy about the tango. I love it, and I'm a klutz. I mean, it's not like I'm really, you know, I've been studying the tango on YouTube and all that sort of thing, but it's so romantic. Do you know that I dream every night that I dance the tango with this super duper boomer guy? You know, he's like 70-something, and I wear my Joan Crawford shoes. You know, platforms, 6-inch heels, little straps. And I don't step on his feet. And you know what else? When I dream this, we're in love. We are in love, and it's incredible. Now, how come in real life this doesn't happen? But I play the tango all the time. Okay, here's the thing. My name is Annie Applebaum. I'm 74. Last year, anyone who was here at my show, I was 73 last year. But now I'm 74, and I want to be a movie star. And why not? Everything is possible at any age. And everybody makes such a big thing about age. Anyway, okay, I'm a writer. It has been a difficult career. 30 years of books that went nowhere, the ups and downs, the rejections. It's really hard. But I write this column, The Viagra Diaries, and it's about men and women over 60. I don't want to trip over the chair. It's about men and women over 60 looking for love, career, you know, beginnings, finding themselves. And the novel's kind of, I mean, it's kind of taking off the column, but I'm looking for a story. I'm looking for something that will take the column over the top because I have a dream. I want this column to bring me fame and fortune and maybe even love. I want it all. So, okay. So I put ads on the single sites. And it says, 70-ish, hottie boomer writer, wants somebody to tango with. And I want a great story, too. Okay, would you believe I get tons of responses? And I mean tons of responses. And it's amazing. So I set up the meetings at Starbucks. You know, I go to Starbucks and I sit in the back and I drink my decaf iced Americano, tall inch of soy foam on top. And sometimes I bring my editing, you know, or I read manuscripts or whatever. And I watch them. I watch these boomer guys, these super boomers who answered my ad. And, you know, and I watch them kind of shuffle in one by one. They tell me their stories. You know, some of them have spray tans and hair pieces and, you know, and they all have stories, all of them. They want everything. They want their youth, they say. They want to go to Viagra Falls, they say. They talk about their dead wives. They show me pictures of their dead wives in bikini bathing suits taken 100 years ago. You know, I was married to Miss Orange County, they say. Oh, my God. But they talk a lot about the dead wives. Okay, I have a best friend. I have a lot of best friends. I'm very blessed, but I have one best friend I adore, Janet Frumkin. And we talk on the phone every night. We talk about our, you know, aging, our health. We talk about our careers, our dreams, the whole thing. So anyway, I'm telling Janet tonight about the, you know, the last couple guys. I went out with the boomer clean freak. I went out with the boomer cheapskate. Oh, I mean, you wouldn't believe. He wouldn't take his car because it's too expensive to park. And we had to read all the menus on the glass windows because he likes to do research on the food, you know. So there I am walking in the, you know, in the rain and everything, dragging along the hills to go eat this awful life soup in this Thai restaurant. But anyway, so I'm telling Janet about all of this. She says, honey, what do you mean with the dead wives? Tell them to buy a new bed. As soon as you sleep in their bed, you're replacing the dead wife. And I said, oh, Janet, you don't know what I'm going through with this dating thing with these boomers. Honey, she says, the last one I made love with, I thought he was dead. He was sleeping. And she says, honey, you know, these boomer nebbies and nerds, you know, you've got to make them, the women make them casseroles and buy them tickets and everything. They're in demand. So, you know, okay. Do you remember Marv Rothstein? If a few of you have read my book. okay. Marv. Oh, my God, I was crazy about Marv Rothstein. the 75-year-old diamond dealer, tall, slim, Cary Grant type, pinstripe suit, you know, elegant, the whole thing. Loved to talk about the fortunes he's made and so forth and so on. Anyway, he's a bad boy boomer. Not good at all. But I will confide to you that I've always had this proclivity towards emotionally unavailable men. Not anymore, but I did. So, you know, he was a bad boy boomer. I recognized it right away. But, you know, chemistry has no agenda. It's weird. And also, he had an ex-wife thing and the whole thing. So, anyway, he would bring me home at like 2 a.m. or something. And early on in the dating, I went to the computer. Because if you're on JDate.com or Amazon.com, but I was on JDate.com. If you're on JDate.com, do you know that it records the exact time that you're on? So, you know, it's like 2 a.m. and I had this wonderful romantic evening, and you always think you can change the bad boy boomer. I just thought, you know, I was the one. So I go on, and there he is. 1 hour after he brought me home, there he is. He's a serial J-dater. He's a serial J-dater. And he only would take me out, you know, he'd ask me out for Monday or Tuesday nights or something like that. So anyway, this is what I decided to do. You're going to think it's terrible, but I did this. I thought, I'm going to go on J-date, and I'm going to pretend I'm somebody else. I'm going to be 28 years old, and I'm going to call myself Diva, Diva Dancer. And so I set up, you know, the profile and everything. He calls himself Mr. Cool, cool guy. And I go on and I say, I'm an actor, I'm 28, and I love older men, and you're just so handsome. Well, the emails were just coming like crazy. Oh, wait, I posted a picture of myself when I was 16. I found it in a string bikini with dark glasses on. He wouldn't know the difference, you know. He wouldn't know it was I. So anyway, he is answering this like crazy. Well, guess what happened? I used all his emails for the column. I called him Mr. X and all the Diva Dancer things, you know, and the column was called Serial Jader. Serial J-Dater goes wild. And it started taking off. It was going around the country. The next thing I know, I get an agent from a big, big talent agency in L.A. Her name is Melissa. And she calls me, and she's so crazy about this column, she calls me Lovey. All the agents in L.A. call you Lovey. And she calls me, and she says, Lovey, this column is so hot, hot, hot. This can be a reality show. Big buckaroonies, big buckaroonies. Oh, my gosh, money? Really? I mean, what do I know about money in this field I'm in? And she says, yeah, big buckaroonies. Okay. Guess what? It got syndicated. It got syndicated. So the agent is calling me all the time, and she's saying, you know, I'm trying to sell it for television or a film, but 70's a hard sell. 70's a hard sell. Keep the faith, Lovey. And her voice fades because she's on speakerphone as she drives around the canyon, you know, the whole thing. Okay, but you know what? You've got to have dreams. I really want this to happen. I have fantasies about the Viagra Diaries becoming a TV series or a movie. I have that dream, and we all need our dreams. No matter how old we are, how young we are, we get new dreams, we get old dreams, but we must keep the dreams, because if you keep the dream long enough, it'll happen. Okay, so let me tell you what happened. Okay. So meanwhile, the column's going crazy. So it's the tango. And Oh, I don't hear it. Oh, now I hear it. I have to have that tingle on. So, okay, this is what happened. I'm getting all these calls from super boomers who are reading my column, and some of them are sending me nasty little notes about, it's okay for you to say your age, but, you know, everyone has got this thing about age. Well, I get an email from Phil Kaplan. He says he's 74, which could mean he's 92, but it really doesn't matter. So he calls, and he's a shrink, and he's the author of a bestseller called Happiness. And he reads my column, and he said, I've got to meet you. I've got to meet you and talk about this column. Okay, I'll meet him at Starbucks. So I'm at Starbucks, and in walks Phil Kaplan. He's huge. This big guy walks in, you know, with the huge, loopy, intellectual hair and kind of a, you know, nice Semitic face. And he struts in and he sits down and he starts to talk, you know, about his book, Happiness. And he was on Dr. Phil and he's been on Oprah and he's talking and so forth. And then he's telling me, you're an angry woman. Well, why do you say that? He said, I can tell by your column, you're angry at men. And we start this big, you know, discussion. And you know what? He's kind of interesting. So we're drinking our coffees. I'm back to the decaf, and I think he had peppermint tea. I'm not sure. But he says to me suddenly, Netflix? Do you have Netflix? Well, of course I have Netflix. I love film. Oh, thank God, a woman who loves film. My ex-wife didn't even know who Betty Davis was. She looked like Pamela Anderson, but she was 30 years old, and she ran off with the personal trainer. And thank God, a woman who loves film. Then he says, Lipitor? Do you take Lipitor? 40 milligrams every day. And I said, Viagra? Do you take Viagra? I don't need it, he says. Will you marry me, I ask? Are you Jewish, he asks. Is the Pope Catholic, I say? Brisket tomorrow night? I cook a mean brisket. Okay, so I'm thinking, why not? I'm hearing a little tango music going, and I think, why not get a little brisket? Okay, the next night, I'm in the cab, and I'm dressed to the nines. I have the Joan Crawford shoes on, and I have a rhinestone butterfly pin that I use to put my hair back, you know, the whole nine yards. And I arrive, and he lives in one of those narrow Victorians, really pretty, filled with books. And he's kind of interesting. You know, a lot of the boomers I went with, like Marv Rothstein, he thinks Rilke played for the Giants. I mean, he didn't know, he was non-intellectual. This guy, at least, you know, he's kind of interesting to talk to. He's kind of full of himself because I love to talk about myself, and I didn't get to talk about myself that much because he was so busy talking about his book and all that, and I wanted to talk about mine. But anyway, okay. Dinner was not bad. The only thing is he had all these incense candles lit all over the place. And, you know, my eye is, I have a tear duct problem. I have a little tear duct problem, and my eye is watering like crazy. You know, things happen when it doesn't matter who you are. Things happen when you get older. So, you know, the eye's running a little, and, you know, he has incense candles lit all over. And then he's got Ravel's Bolero going. And you know what that means. Not to mention, I shouldn't say this, not to mention I'm wearing the Walgreens special 4 panties for a dollar with butterflies on them. So, you know, I didn't have any plans for this. So, any, Anyway, to make a long story shorter, we're in the living room now, and we're having our cognac. And the fireplace is going, you know, and the whole thing, and the tango music is going. There it goes. Okay. And so forth and so on. And he leans over and, okay, the passionate kiss. And he says, you know, he says, you know, he said, are you a hottie? Your ad said you're a hottie. Well, that's for you to find out, I said. And I said, but he says, you know, I think we could have something going here. And I said, what about love? What about love? What about intimacy? He starts yelling at me. You Jewish women, you all want the same thing. You authors are this and that. You women get older. It's not enough to have a brisket and an orgasm. You have to have everything. And he's like screaming at me. And then he says, you know what? I'll show you happiness. I have a plasma TV in my bedroom. And I said, you know what? I have to go. I have a deadline tomorrow. And I rushed into the night and I caught a cab. And when I went outside, the moon was so beautiful and it was all misty and San Francisco was glowing and glistening and beautiful. And there was so much hope in the air. I thought, you know what? I'm just going to keep my dream and move on. I'm just going to keep my dream. Okay, that's Phil Kaplan. Now, don't you get tired of this age thing, seriously? I mean, whether you're 40 or 70 or 90 or whatever, I'm really tired of it. I'm tired of age segregation. I'm tired of getting the feeling that I have to lie about my age to get a partner or a job. I resent having to put my age down for jobs. I think we should do away with that. I resent when I go for auditions, which I'm doing now because I'm taking acting lessons at the Marsh Theater. I know, okay, you know, so I make a fool out of myself, but it's something I've always wanted to do. And they say, sweetie, sweetie, sit in the back. Well, the minute they call you sweetie, they're really saying, hey, old lady, you know, I just hate the age thing. So I had a the other thing. I'm also really tired of a lot of nights I can't sleep. Insomnia, whatever, the dreams going in the head, the whole thing. And I can't sleep, so I flick on the TV. I am sick to death of seeing all those ads for skin and hair and this and what's her name? I forget her name, who has the French guy injecting melon cells. Cindy Crawford. If I see that face one more time, I'm really sick of you, Cindy. You know, she doesn't have a line. And injecting the melon balls or whatever and the whole thing. And, you know, I think, oh, my God, what is this? I hate this. And for those of you who like all that, please, I'm not judging you. I'm not. God knows I could use a few things. I just don't want it. The thing that I object to is the pressure on men and women to look younger, be younger, because then you're not being who you are. So anyway, I have a dream this night, and I dream that I'm having an age march. The first age march in history, where every man and woman in the United States wore buttons with their real age on it. The real faces of age were going to march in celebration of their age and who they are. And they're going to end age discrimination. And oh my God, I woke up and I thought, bingo, bingo. I don't really have to go to play bingo and go on an ARP cruise in Alaska like I'm told to do all the time. You know, not to do this or that. You know, rest on your laurels, go on an ARP cruise. I'm going to do this age march. So I got together a committee. Actually, I was really lucky because Age Song jumped on it. And so anyway, I started the committee. And oh, it was so good. I mean, the dream was so good, but everyone said you'll never pull it off. So more about that after. You have to meet Dr. Ian Gold. 77, he said. And he's looking for the right woman. And he is, we meet at Starbucks, and he shows up wearing his scrubs. You know how they do? The stethoscope, showing off a little bit. You know, the stethoscope, the scrubs, the whole bit. And it looked like his hair was very dyed. I mean, it's the same thing with men. You know, why do they have to do that? Why can't they just be who they are? And he looked very tight, very tight, very tight. And he kept saying, I can knock years off you. You know, come see me. And what good bones he had. And he's showing me x-rays from his last bone density test. And he says, you know, the trouble with women your age, he says, you have brittle bones. He said, the last one I made love with, the bones went snap, right in half. It was terrible. And you know what I say? Does God use Botox? No. Does God wear Gucci? I don't think so. You know, I wake up in the mornings, and you know, the wonderful thing is we all have an essence. We all have a self. We all have an essence. And sometimes I wake up in the morning and I think, did I forget to grow a neck or something? My neck became my stomach. Even my silver Tibetan collar that I love, I have this big Tibetan collar, isn't hiding the neck anymore. But Holly Blum, I know this woman, Holly Blum, she's had so much stuff done. Her lips are now up here, and her chin's down here, and her forehead's way back here. And, okay. You're getting my point. You're getting my point is, you know, just to be who we are. Okay. You've got to meet Charlie Zuckerman. Billionaire boomer. So, the column is going great guns. And the agent's calling me all the time. She's got near misses. I almost have a deal. And this one, you know, the same old thing I've heard for 30 years. But she's passionate about the project, and I'm passionate about the dream. So because the column is syndicated now, I get invitations, free, comp, they call it, to openings, all these fundraisers. Ugh. Fundraisers for the whales. Fundraisers for parking lots. Fundraisers for Indian restaurants. You know, fundraisers. So tonight, I'm at this fundraiser for foreign films. And it's gorgeous. You know, it's really gorgeous. It's in a loft and it's all silver with this, you know, great bongo music going and the whole thing, and all these great looking waiters are passing all these little puff things, caviar puffs and shrimp puffs, and you know, it's great. And I'm wearing the Joan Crawford shoes, you know, and I'm wearing a hat with my butterfly and so forth and so on. And I'm standing there talking to this wonderful filmmaker, a wonderful gay woman I know, and she has a film called Clitoris Lost. No, I'm serious. And it's won all kinds of awards and so forth and so on. And we're standing there talking about our work and the whole thing, and this guy comes loping up to us, you know. He's like, I'd say in the 80-ish department. You know, I'm sure he wouldn't admit it, but I would say. And very attractive. He's tall and very beautifully dressed with a big puff of hair, you know, that looked like it had just been blown out. but it had silver bands, you know, very nice looking. And he says to me, oh, meanwhile, Lynn scurried away, and he says to me, you know, I really like your hat, and I like your shoes. I wasn't wearing these shoes. I was wearing the Joan Crawford shoes. He said, really unusual for an older woman. And I said, but I'm not an older woman. I'm a woman. He says, I read your column. I know who you are. And you skewer men. And I said, are you next? This is true. And he says, you know, he said, I like your column. I think it's funny. And he said, I think it'd be a terrific movie. And I'm going to bring it to Bob. Who? Excuse me? Redford. Oh, whoop-de-doo. He says, I'm president of the film press, and I back most of the films you're seeing. Wow, that's really something. And he said, I'd love to show you, I'd love to take you to, I'd buy these theaters all around the country, and I'd love to take you to my house in Dubai. And I said, do I have to wear a burqa? And he said, pretty kinky. And he says, how about dinner? And I'm thinking, okay, billionaire boomer, I need sponsoring for the Age March. You have no idea. There's no money for the Age March. I don't have any money. And when I tell people about it, Age March, you know, you'll never get it in Age March off. Nobody wants to celebrate age. So anyway, I go to dinner, and he's one of those foodies. You know what I mean? We go to this place called Qua or Quay or whatever. I hated it. I hated it. You know, there's no prices on the menu. And you sit down, and they have this waiter who's talking in all these languages and everything about, you know, and it's 11 dishes. And they're like, you know, there's one mussel floating on a big white plate. And then there's a little bit of soup with little flowers sprinkled on the top. And he's just oohing and aahing. You know, this is 5 stars. And lately they got 2 stars at Michelin. And I'm just dying for my spaghetti and meatballs or pizza or something. I'm not that healthy. But anyway, I hated it. It was like this serious restaurant. And for you foodies out there, you're probably ready to kill me, but I hated Qua. Anyway, so we're talking, you know, and meanwhile, the guy is so neurotic, he's sure that there's a bug in his soup. Yeah. So there was, he talks in French, he talks in I don't know what else, he's making a big thing, and then he's got a little spray thing that he had to spray around the table, you know, and the whole thing, oh my God. And then he's, you know, and so then towards the end of dinner, I told him about the Age March. I said, I want this to be a world movement. This is not just a one-time thing. This is a world movement. And I think he knew I was pitching him because he suddenly got kind of like, I really just back, you know, movies. And he said, I don't know, he said, how old you think I am, but I'm not for an age march. He said, I don't know what kind of people you're talking about. Anyway, there's another man who cannot face, whether it's a man or a woman, age, who's not embracing the beauty that we're all here every single day. And we have so many new choices. It's so wonderful. Okay, I'm just going to tell you this one other. Okay. High school reunion. Oh, my God. Can we bring the past back? I mean, a lot of us think, oh, you know, I read these stories about, like my cousin. I have a cousin who met her love at the high school reunion and, you know, all these stories. And I want to do it all over again because I was such a jerk. And I think I want to go back and do it all over again and the high school reunion and 50 years and we wore little name tags, you know, with our pictures on it like we looked then. And we're all looking at each other's picture. Oh, yeah, I remember you. Yeah, yeah. And then they had a wall of all the people who had died. You know, it was kind of sad. And then, you know, and then Arlene Kellerman was wearing emeralds. She's still ugly, but she was wearing emeralds. Excuse me for saying that. You know, and there were like tons of readjusted faces there, you know, the whole thing. But anyway, I'm standing there and I'm having my lemon drop martini, three green olives. And this guy comes up to me and he says, Annie, I knew it was you. Oh, yeah, sure. And I'm looking to see who he is. And then I remembered he was the smartest boy in the class. And I really like smart men. And we start talking and so forth. And he starts so romantic. So romantic. He's telling me how he had five wives because he had always been in love with me. And couldn't find me or something. And I'm just thinking, oh, this is so romantic. I have the past back. You know, the whole thing is just so wonderful. And then we slow danced to Goodnight, Sweetheart. You know, we did the box step. You know. He's a little obese, but he still had the very smart eyes, and he was smart. So, anyway, he says, come back to my house. Okay, so I did. You know, it could be a column, right? So I go back to his house, and he lives somewhere in the hills. And the house is still embraced in the 50s. A lot of macrame, a lot of plants. You know, there were pictures of me everywhere. He must have known I was going to be there. And he was very romantic. And we danced and we danced. I think we danced to The Godfather. I don't know. It was just very romantic, and I was getting so lost. You know, I said, isn't senior love wonderful? Oh, by the way, I don't like the label senior, so excuse me for saying that. I'm not a senior, I'm a person. Okay, so he's got a waterbed. And we're sitting on the waterbed and kind of making out, and it's gurgling and so forth and so on. And he excuses himself, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, is he going to take Viagra or something? And he comes out, and he looked like an anteater from the bottom of the sea. He had all this equipment on. He said, I have sleep apnea. I have to sleep in this every night, and I wanted to share this with you. You know, this big snout and all this equipment. You know, Walter, you're such a nice guy, and I loved it tonight, but it's late, and I've really got to go. Okay. Marv Rothstein again. Now, I have to tell you what happened. This is what happens when you're not real and not true to yourself, which I'm constantly working on, this true to yourself stuff. But anyway, okay. So I go out with Marv Rothstein again. And we only go out on Monday nights because he always complained that his wife never let him have sex on Monday nights. And I really was trying for the Tuesday, then the Thursday, then the Saturday. But anyway, so we go out tonight, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm trying to tell the guy that he is Mr. X in the columns. And he is saying, do you read my columns, Marv? Yeah, he said, they're really good, that Mr. X is a really a cool guy, isn't he? So I know he doesn't really read them, you know. So anyway, we go back to his place. Oh, he takes me to a Middle Eastern restaurant, and we're sitting with the cushions, and I'm eating the kebabs on the stick, you know, the whole thing. And I'll share with you. I mean, I shouldn't really be sharing this, actually. My daughter's here giving me looks. I shouldn't share. But, you know, things happen when you get older. I have a little IBS. And I'm eating this, you know, very hot, spicy food, and the belly dancers are dancing in front of him, and he's putting $20 bills in their waist, and he's real cheap with me. He uses his 2-for-1 card with me. Because love to him is a size zero, a trust fund, and a doorman. To him, I'm a hippie writer, and he's keeping me hidden. He doesn't think I know it, okay? So we have the dinner, and he says to me, come on back to my place. I want to show you what my decorator just bought me. I have a new Indian wall hanging. And I think, okay, I'm kind of soft on the guy. You know, things can change. So I go back there, or maybe I should have a talk with him. So I go back there, and he lives in one of those co-op deals on the 27th floor, real swank, non-stop windows. But the view isn't so great because it's all air. You don't see anything except one little star blinking back and forth. And then he's got the telescopes, and everything is very displayed. And he has this ugly little dog, big as a sock, hideous, and he's talking to the dog like I'm not there. He's saying things like, oh, sweetie, the dog's name is Sweetie, I won't be very long, the nice lady's gonna leave soon, you know. The dog is sitting there on the pillow glaring at me, and you know, the whole thing. And then, you know, and he's hard of hearing, so when I say something, he yells, what? So anyway, to make a long story short, we're making out like teenagers, and, you know, he sounds like a moose in heat, and suddenly his life alert bracelet went off. And I'm not kidding. Is that a nightmare? I mean, the life alert bracelet went off because he was making so much noise, and there's banging on the door, and I'm trying to get all my things together, and I'm running out, and all these people in their robes on the floor are giving me dirty looks, you know? And I thought, so that night I talked to Janet Frumkin, and I said, you know, Janet, she said, what are you going out with him for, honey? What do you need this for? And I said, chemistry. She says, chemistry, schmemistry. She says, I don't want a cheapskate. I want a sport. Forget the chemistry. So anyway, that was that. Now, you won't believe what happened. Are you ready? I promise it won't take too much longer. Okay. Lovey, the agent, calls me. Barbara, I'm Annie tonight. Annie, yes. I have something to tell you. I have something to tell you. HBO loves the Viagra Diaries, and they want to make a TV series. And I can't believe it, because that's been my dream for 35 years. I can't believe it. I said, no way. Oh, yes, buckaroonies, buckaroonies. You know, and she's driving over the canyon and the whole thing. And then she's complaining about, you know, she says, you know, this industry is filled with these nebbishes, she said. These guys, she says, and they're all, everyone's crooked. And I'll have the lawyer call you and this and that and the other thing. And she says, guess what? They love the character of Marv Rothstein. They love the Mr. X, and they're already talking about casting. He's going to be the next Mr. Big. For those of you who ever saw Sex and the City, Mr. Big, he is going to be, and okay, I hang up. And yes, I'm very excited. I call my daughter Bonnie and my son-in-law Gary, whom I adore. There they are, right there. I said, guess what? Because they're always hearing how nothing ever happens. Guess what? This is happening. This is happening. Dreams come true. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I can't believe it. Blah, 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 blah. But I better tell Marv Rothstein, don't you think? I mean, I felt very guilty. You know, I thought, I've got to tell him that he's going to be, you know, in the movie and the whole thing. So I call him, and we go to dinner. We go to dinner. Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, no, no. What I decided to do is be diva dancer. And so I typed a note, and I said, dear Mr. Cool, I need to meet you. Time has gone by so fast, and I need to meet you. How about Saturday night at the Top of the Mark? I will be there, and I will be wearing a red coat and a red beret and a butterfly pin. He emails back right away, "You're on." Then Marv Rothstein called me and broke his date for Saturday night, which he had done many times and I had known. So anyway, Saturday night comes. Okay, I get to the Mark Hopkins and I take that glass elevator up to the top and I'm all in red. You know, I'm really into this. The whole thing, I am diva dancer, you know. And I see him sitting at the bar. And he's going like this with his silver hair. And he's impeccably dressed in his Cary Grant suit. And I'm feeling kind of sorry for him, but I don't feel too guilty because buckaroonies. And I walk over to him and I tap him on the shoulder. And I said, he turns around and he looks and he said, "Annie, what are you doing here? I have a date tonight." And he looks at his watch and he says, "Yeah, I have a business appointment." And I said, "I'm diva dancer." And he looks at me. He looks at me and he slumps to the floor. He's turning blue. It's true. There's all these medics around, whistles and this and that. And the next thing I know, is there a doctor in the house? And there were like three doctors. It turned out he had a cardiac arrest. And they, you know, took him in the ambulance to the hospital. Now, I'm going to fast forward a little bit. Did I blame myself for the cardiac arrest? No. I mean, it probably was coming anyway. I lit a few candles for him. I love to go to the Catholic Church in North Beach, and I light candles for the saints, very seriously. I lit a candle for him. So anyway, to make a long story short, I visit him in the hospital. I visit him when he comes home, and he's recovering. And he says to me, he says, "Annie, the doctors won't let me take Viagra anymore." He never even admitted that he took, you know, he would never even admit his age or anything. I said, that's not important. And he says, "Annie, I've always loved you. You've always been the one. Let's go to my place in Paris and let's get married." Married? Marv, I can't get married. It's too late for us. I have a career. Annie, you're too old for that. We're older people. You need someone to take care of you, to help you. Marv, I'm sorry. I don't want that. Thank you very much. I really hope you recover soon. So, the next thing that happened, it's August 8th, 2010. It's 8 o'clock in the morning at Fort Mason. I'm wearing my Age March t-shirt. It's the day of the Age March. I fast-forwarded all the problems with the committees, and oh, it was a nightmare what went on. And I didn't know if 10 people would show up or, you know, 50 or what, but over 300 people showed up for the Age March. And they were holding up signs. "Mickey Mouse is young too." I had my sign, "I'm not a senior, I'm a person." And the signs, and there were vans from everywhere. There were all these vans from the press, local press, from all over the Bay Area. There was a 96-year-old woman there holding up her sign. And on that note, I'm going to end this to some music. John, is the music working? Oh, it is? Oh, I wanted to play Shine On, Debbie Kukulon's song. But on that note, that was the most beautiful day of my life. It really was. Because you know what it was? Okay. It was about dreams coming true. anything is possible and everything is possible at every age, and there's hope for everyone. And thank you for having me tonight. Mwah.
Thank you so
thank
much,
you.
Barbara.
Thank you.
You are marvelous as ever.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. Should I get
Will
off
you stay
the
a few moments
oh,
in case people
to.
Have questions?
Oh, I'd love to. I don't want to get off. Yeah.
We have a microphone, and in order for the questions to be heard, if you put your hand up, we can pass the microphone, and Barbara can speak, and everything will be on the tape. Who will be first? Okay. We'd like to remind our listening audience this is a program with the Commonwealth Club of California, and you're listening for excerpts from the Viagra Diaries by Barbara Rose Brooker.
I just wanted to say that I was at that age walk, which was great, and I'm wondering, at that time I talked with you and you said, hey, we're going to do this a lot, and I'm wondering if you're going to bring it forward, if it's going to happen again, and whether it's growing or what's going on with it.
Thank you. Oh, thank you. Yes, let me tell you what's going on. There's going to be another one in August here. Age Song is partnering. And here's the big news. The Motion Picture Television Fund Foundation in Los Angeles called me, and they are going to be sponsoring a huge red carpet age march in Los Angeles in May. It's going to be very celebrity-oriented, but this is huge. They're doing all the work and sponsoring with Age Song, and this is going to go around the country. And, you know, I want to say one more thing. I just have to say one more thing before another question. I have been honored to be able to teach at San Francisco State University. Ollie, Deborah Varner, is here tonight. She's the one who hired me. And it has been such a privilege because there's people from my class here tonight who are tomorrow's new authors, where age does not matter, but the projects do. You know, there's new movies coming out and new books and everything. There are no obstacles for us whatsoever. And one more thing, I didn't get to thank the Commonwealth Club for having me for the second time. To John Milner, my partner in crime, who's so patient and wonderful in putting this program together. I think everyone should give John a hand. And David Lerner and where's Eddie? Who, big pros, big camera guy pros in L.A., I mean, you know, NBC, Tom Brokaw, whole thing. They drove all the way up to mic me up and to make sure the sound is good. John Torrey, composer, musician, coordinates my music for me because we have plans to take this show on the road. And there's so many people to thank. I don't know if Eileen, is it Eileen Williams is here tonight? Hi! She had me on a radio show recently. It was wonderful. And Eileen has this wonderful book out about finding a job after 50. I don't have the exact title, but you can see her afterwards with her book. And all you wonderful people doing things about aging, I want to thank, I just have to thank, I want to thank George Dobbins, Ricky Raffner, and all of you for coming tonight, you know, in 2 days before Thanksgiving in the rain, and for supporting me. It's just been incredible. So David and Eddie, please wave. Look, they came all the way up from L.A. These guys are pros. And guess what? They're making a documentary about the Age March. So, I mean, it's... If it can happen to me, it can happen to you. Believe me, because it came very late for me. I can't tell. But it's terrific. It really is. So, anyway.
Barbara, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. But, Barbara, will you be signing books afterwards?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Absolutely.
We have books. Barbara will be signing.
How are you?
We thank our audience here as well as those listening to the recording. And now, this meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California commemorating its 107th year of enlightened discussion is adjourned.